idea of yours to drive out of town for a picnic in your new car.
Thanks for calling it a new car.
Well, it's new to you anyway, even if it is a 1938 model.
Well, anyway, I figured we've earned an afternoon off. My next article doesn't have to be written till Friday. A fellow has to relax once in a while, you know. Hey, you've been a faithful and hardworking assistant, too, kid. You've earned a break.
Thanks. By the way, Danny, what is your next assignment?
Citizenship. You know, Nellie, we're looking at something right now that ties in with the idea of citizenship.
We are? Personally, I was looking at the hats in that store window we just passed.
No, I mean right here on this road. Look at the cars. Dozens of them. And every one with plenty of horsepower under the hood. Now, what would happen if there were no rules? If every driver could do just exactly as he liked?
It'd be sort of messy, wouldn't it?
You said it. What keeps it orderly? What keeps all the cars from getting mixed up and smashing into one another? Cooperation, that's what. Everybody agrees to stay on the right side of the road. You can go fast or you can go slow, just as you like, providing you don't endanger the other fellow. Now, there's nothing to stop you from getting ahead of the car in front of you either, providing you can do it safely without hurting anybody. You know, that's the basic principle of citizenship in a democratic country, Nellie. Getting ahead whenever you can, in whatever way you want to, but always respecting the other fellow's rights.
Danny, don't look now, but I think somebody bumped into you.
Let's get out and look. Look at that fender. Why, that big ape, he can't do a thing like that. What does he think, he's driving a tank? I'll pin his ears back, what good, that big stiffer.
Danny, he's coming now.
Well, we seem to have run into a bit of trouble here, eh?
Trouble is right. Look at the fender.
Oh, I wouldn't worry too much about your fender.
Not worry about it, but look at it.
I know, but save your worrying for your left hind wheel here. It seems to be a little bent.
Holy shamolin. I didn't notice that. It's practically flat on the road.
My fault entirely. I was daydreaming. Bad habit I have when I'm driving. Don't worry. I'll see that the damage to your car is taken care of and paid for.
What? Oh, gosh, thanks.
In the meantime, of course, you people are stuck without transportation. I'd suggest, first, that we call a garage from the nearest payphone and have them tow your car away to be fixed. And second, that you two then proceed by taxi at my expense. Incidentally, my name is John Nesbitt.
John Nesbitt? The Member of Parliament?
That's right.
Well, I'm Danny Marsden, Mr. Nesbitt, reporter for the Mid-City Sentinel.
I'm glad to meet you, Mr. Marsden. I've read all your articles. Very good stuff indeed.
Oh, thank you. What are you speaking about this afternoon?
Canadian citizenship.
Well, I'll be darned. Is it a public meeting?
Why, yes. Why?
Oh, well, Mr. Nesbitt, if you'll just wait here a moment while I dash into that drugstore and call a tow truck, I'll be right back. You won't need to call a taxi. There's lots of room in your car for Nellie and me. And your audience this afternoon is going to be increased by two.
And so we come to the question, what exactly is citizenship? Citizenship in a country means to belong to that country in the fullest sense of the word. It means, in its ideal sense, to identify your aims and aspirations as much as possible with those of your fellow citizens, to recognize that you and they are marching forward together to a common destiny in which you will all share. But you cannot belong passively. You must do your part in shaping that common destiny. How does a Canadian citizen play his part? I can think of three important departments of life which call for citizenship from the individual man and woman. The first that springs to my mind, though perhaps it is not the first in importance, is politically. To be a good citizen politically is to take a lively interest in politicians and political parties and in the political questions of the day, not only in the field of national affairs, but in foreign affairs as well. It requires that you find out everything you possibly can about the men who represent you in Ottawa, and also that you keep those men fully acquainted with your wishes and your opinions. And, of course, it requires that you cast your vote on voting day for the man you think best qualified to represent your interests in Parliament. The tendency in the democratic countries has been more and more to place in government hands powers that affect the life of the individual citizen. Thus, we look to the government to provide for us in our old age. We look to the government to provide financial help in rearing our children. We look to the government to protect us against unemployment. In short, we are making the government more and more responsible for our welfare, and therefore shouldering less and less of that responsibility ourselves. Now, if this is what we want, and it seems to be what the majority want, then that's what we will get. But we have to face the fact that we lose a certain amount of freedom when we do this. If we carry the process too far, we shall lose too much freedom. The state will be running our lives for us. We shall then be in exactly the same boat as the Germans were under Hitler and as the Russians are today.
Danny, he's really good.
The second department of life which calls for citizenship is the economic field. Every one of us is a part of Canadian business. As an employer or an employee or a small business proprietor or a professional man or a consumer. Now, the Canadian economy can be improved. Everything ever created by the hands of man can be improved. But a conscientious citizen of Canada will do nothing to undermine our economic setup. While he works to advance himself, and Canada's economy gives him every opportunity to do that, he will never seek his own advantage at the expense of someone else. Furthermore, and this is very important, he will seek out the true facts about the free enterprise economy of Canada so that he can never be misled by those who would try to persuade him that it's fundamentally wrong and should be replaced by something else. As citizens, we all have a constructive part to play in Canada's economy. We must not shirk that responsibility. Citizenship of the highest order is also called for in a third department of life, which, for want of a better word, I have called the social department. How do we show citizenship in this sphere? For one thing, we realize that there are no such things as degrees of citizenship. There are no second-class citizens in Canada. Whether a man is a banker or a bricklayer, whether his skin is white or black or brown or yellow, whether he is a Protestant or a Catholic or a Mohammedan, these things do not make him superior or inferior. He is as much entitled as you are to be treated as a human being, to be accorded the protection of Canadian law, and to enjoy all the rights of Canadian citizenship. As a Canadian citizen, you have a stake in Canadian democracy. You cannot expect to enjoy the good things of citizenship without working for them. Nor can you expect to keep the freedom you now have and the high standard of living that is now yours without working incessantly at this business of being a good citizen. Not so very long ago, Canadian citizenship, which had long been an established thing in fact, became an established thing in law when the Citizenship Act was passed. But you must always remember one thing. No matter how many acts it passes, the government cannot make you into a Canadian citizen. Only you can do that.
Idea of yours, Danny, inviting me along to your picnic. I'm grateful.
Oh, we're delighted you could come, Mr. Nesbitt. I got a lot of good ideas from your speech this afternoon, but I'd like to get more. That is, if you don't mind talking about it.
I should say I don't. What can I tell you?
Well, I must admit that I don't know for sure. This subject of citizenship is a complicated one, and it's kind of hard to know where to start.
I know it is. I think I'd better pull into this service station and get some gas. We'll take up that citizenship theme again after, Danny.
How many?
You better fill her up, please, and check the oil, too, will you?
Okay. I guess you want the better grade of gas, eh?
Yes, please.
Costs you 40 cents a gallon.
I know.
Too darn much for gasoline. Well, you probably think I'm crazy talking like that when I'm selling the stuff. But what the heck? Ridiculous prices are ridiculous prices, is what I say.
You do, eh?
I sure do, bud. The filling station business ain't what it used to be, all on account of ridiculous prices for gasoline. You know whose fault it is that gasoline prices are so high?
I'll bet.
The government's, that's whose. Surprised you, eh? Thought I'd say the oil companies, didn't you? Well, it's the government. Taxes, taxes, taxes. They pile taxes onto gasoline till the price gets where it's ridiculous.
Well, why don't you do something about it?
You kidding? What can anybody do about the government? The politicians run it to suit themselves.
But ordinary people elect the politicians to office.
That's it exactly, mister. Come election day, you got a choice between two, maybe three politicians, and they're all alike. What chance have you got?
Join a political party. Get together with some other fellows who feel the same way as you do, and put up your own candidate for office. Anybody in Canada can do that. Didn't you know that?
Well, I guess I didn't know that, but holy cow, I ain't got time to go sashaying around putting up candidates for the government. Running this here garage is a full-time job, mister. You believe me. Well, I guess I better get busy and fill up the gas tank.
Well, our garrulous friend at the service station gave us a pretty sharp object lesson on what good citizenship isn't.
I'll say he did.
The tragedy is that his attitude is a pretty representative one.
Oh, his big beef was about taxes. I kind of sympathize with him there. Do you really think that if enough plain citizens in Canada got mad enough about high taxes and squawked loud enough to their MPs, taxes would be reduced?
Well, first, the MPs, if they were honest, would reply to their constituents that taxes could be reduced all right. But that if they were, there wouldn't be enough money to provide a lot of the social services the government provides today. The so-called free services that are actually paid for out of every taxpayer's pocket. I just thought of something. If you'll open the glove compartment, Danny, you'll find a number of pamphlets there. I think you'll find them useful in writing this article of yours.
Oh, okay. These look pretty good. Say, I like this paragraph. Hey, Nellie, listen to this. Recently, some 5,000 high school students in five different communities of Ontario were asked what they understood by the word democracy. A small percentage of the answers revealed that the student had no conception. About 90% of those writing apparently thought of democracy in terms of rights and privileges only, and less than 10% made any mention of any duties or responsibilities which the average citizen must shoulder if our democratic way of life is to prevail. Now, here's another good point. In Canada, letters to the newspapers come chiefly from persons who hold extreme views on economic and religious questions, and this makes many people unwilling to write their share of public letters. In England, on the contrary, all the best papers contain a constant stream of correspondence from the most responsible people in the country.
Yes, it's a pity more people, and especially more intelligent people, don't write to the papers.
Oh, here's a sentence from the Canadian Chamber of Commerce's booklet on national affairs committees. Better government is not hard to get. You just help yourself. The citizens themselves must want it enough to make the necessary effort to get it.
That's the problem in a nutshell, Danny.
You know, Mr. Nesbitt, I've learned a great deal from you today. I learned a lot from listening to your speech, and I learned a lot from our conversation, too. But probably the most valuable lesson I've had has come from seeing a good citizen in action.